Good day and welcome to the TGS Q4 2013 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead.
Hello, and welcome to TGS's fourth quarter 2013 conference call. I'm Robert Hobbs. I'm CEO of TGS, and joining me on the call today is Kristian Johansen, and he's our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our fourth quarter earnings release and our full year 2013 results. Just to remind you, we've released our 2013 guidance in early January. I hope that you have had an opportunity to view the release that we put out today, and we'll now give just a brief summary of the main points before opening this call to your questions. In the fourth quarter of 2013, TGS had total net revenues of $271 million, compared with $281 million in Q4 of 2012. We continue to see strong multi-client late sales in Q4 2013 and set a new quarterly record of $218 million, up 7% from the fourth quarter of 2012. Pre-funding revenues were $44 million, funding 47% of our investments in multi-client products. Our multi-client investment totaled $92 million for the quarter, down 3% from 1 year ago. Our resulting operating profit was $120 million, 44% of net revenues compared to $118 million in the same period 1 year ago. And earnings per share were 81 cents per share, which is about the same, which is the same as the fourth quarter of 2012. For the full year 2013, we exceeded our October guidance with net revenues of $883 million compared to $932 million in 2012. Net late sales from the multi-client library were $638 million, up 13% from the $564 million that we recorded in 2012, and again, is an annual late sales record for the company at $638 million. Full-year pre-funding revenues were $186 million, down 45% from 2012, funding 42% of our multi-client investments. Multi-client investment totaled $439 million for the year. In 2013, operating profit was $387 million, or 44% of net revenues, compared to $402 million, or 43% of net revenues in 2012. Earnings per share in 2013 were $2.59 per share compared to $2.66 per share in 2012. As of December 31st, 2013, TGS's cash holdings were $281 million, down from the $339 million that we had at the end of 2012. The board of TGS announced this morning that it's decided to propose to the June 2014 annual general meeting a dividend of 8.5 kroners per share. In addition, the company has authority to buy back shares in the market in accordance with existing regulations at the Oslo Stock Exchange. In accordance with this authority, the board has decided to initiate a share buyback program in 2014 of $30 million. The plan to repurchase stock will start on February 7th and will continue up to and including December 31st, 2014. Analyst surveys are reporting increases in expected E&P spending for 2014 of approximately 6%, although with regards to seismic spending, there is some near-term uncertainty. The future of TGS's business, and particularly the company's focused asset-light multi-client model, is clearly strong. As demonstrated by our 2013 late sales performance, oil companies continue to demand high-quality geoscience data to guide their exploration efforts. We expect 2014 to be an active year for license rounds in areas in which TGS has a strong library position, and exploration success in these areas also helps further drive demand for our data. The new project ideas our project developers are generating are very attractive to industry, resulting in a record backlog of $281 million at the end of 2013 that we reported this morning. The pipeline of new investment opportunities continues to be strong in both traditional as well as new multi-client markets for TGS. We have ongoing projects across the globe, including the Gulf of Mexico, onshore North America, Canada, Brazil, Australia, and Madagascar. The company secured vessel capacity for much of our investment plan in 2014. At this time, TGS sees adequate available additional vessel capacity in the market to execute on the guided investment plan. So for 2014, TGS reiterates our guidance as follows. Multi-client library investments of $390 to $460 million. Average pre-funding in the range of 45 to 55% of investments. An average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 40 to 46% of net revenues. Net revenues in the range of $870 to $950 million, of which approximately 5% will be from proprietary contract projects. At this time, we'll open the call to your questions. Operator, can you please take control of the call?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will now take our first question from Christopher Muller-Loken. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. One question first on the balance sheet, actually. The other non-current assets increased quite meaningfully from Q3 to Q4. Could you indicate roughly what that was, and also the other non-current liabilities increased? Not that much, but also quite a bit from Q3.
I'll let Christian answer those
changes?
Questions.
Yeah, the other current assets, I guess, was your first question. That increased from 429 to 447, and the reason for that is mainly higher sales in Q4 than we had in Q3, and especially relatively high sales in December, which is obviously accounts receivable at the end of December, and then it will be recorded or collected in January or February. With regards to other non-current assets, which also increased from 18 to 56, that's a sale that we made which has payment terms which goes outside 2014, which means that we have to record that as a other non-current asset.
Is that sales related to the agreement you have with North Energy, or is it something else?
That has nothing to do with North Energy, so that's in a different part of the world.
Okay.
But keep in mind, and that's also important to state, is that our current asset or accounts receivable are gross in our balance sheet. So when we make a sale like that, if we only own part of the project, then we will also have a current liability which will increase, which you see at under liabilities. You see current liabilities increase from 318 to 342. That would normally be the partner's share of such a sale.
Okay. And also going back to a question from earlier today on the backlog. In the release, you state that the increase in the backlog mainly relates to projects offshore Australia, and of course, looking on the vessel schedule and also on the size of the backlog, is it fair to assume that the pre-funding in first half this year will be above the guided range for the full year?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think you can necessarily assume that.
I think your best estimate for that, Christopher, would be to have a look at the vessel capacity slide. And if you look at that, you will see which regions we're going to shoot seismic in the first half of the year, and you could probably make a decent estimate just based on what regions we are active in. And you see, for example, Australia, we have two surveys in Australia, and if you do your research, you will see that one of these surveys are within an area where blocks are already held by an oil company, so usually you would see very high pre-funding on a project like that. But then we have also other projects that usually carry the lower pre-funding. It would be like Gulf of Mexico and maybe even Brazil.
Mm. Okay,
no
thank you.
There is no reason to say that it's going to be significantly higher.
Mm. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Again, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no question for the moment. We will pause to allow everybody to signal. We will now take our next question from Sanat Satyan from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I must have missed this in the earlier presentation, but just wanted to check how comfortable you are with the vessel availability in the market for your H2 seismic survey season. Do you think there are enough vessels available and at day rates you are comfortable with?
Yeah, you know, again, referring back to the vessel capacity chart that we've locked in that Christian referred to in the answer to the last question, you know, you can see that, well, you can look at that and assume that we have, you know, vessel commitments yet to announce in the year. We're very comfortable with having availability to fill out that investment plan throughout the year. In fact, you see on the capacity chart that we have a number of options that we haven't yet exercised as well, and we haven't felt the need to exercise those options because we continue to see availability in that portion of the year, and you know, in the middle of the summer season as well as the Q4. Of course, you know, the Q2 and Q3 are traditionally the tightest periods for vessel capacity, I suppose, in our vessel supply in the geophysical industry, because you have traditionally such high activity in the northern hemisphere summer season. But at this point, we see, and you know, when we talk to our vessel suppliers for projects in the summertime period, we're getting multiple bids, so it's we're quite confident that we'll have sufficient capacity to fill out our guided investment schedule.
Sure, and that would be true for land as well, right?
Oh yeah, land. No problem at all getting a land crew that operates in almost a constant oversupply market.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. There is no further question in the queue at the moment. Again, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. There is no further question at this time.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate everybody's attendance in the call, and look forward to reporting again on our Q1 results in late April. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.